How's everybody doing this evening? How many people here are visitors? How many people here are visitors? Very good. Amen. God bless you. My name is Miles. How are you doing? God bless you. Glad to have you. Hope you have a great time. Let's see your Bibles. Word. Pen. Lesson plan. Lesson plan. Don't you usually sit over there? What happened? You got a little late? You arrived a little late. Okay. Okay. What'd you say? The military took away your grammar. Are you sure they took it or they just never gave it to you? Oh, they took it. Okay. So you had it before. Gotcha. Turn to, please, John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And I want to encourage all you young people out there to get this book called I Don't Want Your Sex For Now. Did they talk about it in the announcements? They didn't tell you about this book? This new book I wrote called I Don't Want Your Sex For Now. Actually, it's not really that new, but it's very pertinent to issues at hand. Talks all about all the questions you want to know about sex, love, how far you can go, what is love, how you know someone loves you, how you can be forgiven. All that stuff is in this book. Questions after every chapter. Please go get it and read it. John chapter 8. Let's pray for a minute. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness to us. We thank you for your love for us. I thank you for what you're going to do in someone's life tonight. You are going to change someone's life. We thank you for all the people that have made amazing decisions in their life today to surrender themselves to you. We pray more people make that decision tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I love playing with little kids. And especially if I'm at like a soccer game or a baseball game with my kids, and there's little kids on there playing with their toys, whatever it is, I love to just go over to them, and especially if I don't know them, it doesn't matter, say, can I play? And they look at you. Little kids are honest. They look at you, check you out, wonder why you want to play with them. And then they'll go, all right. And they'll give you one of their broke toys. You know, they'll just dog you out. See if you can have fun with that. Then if you have fun and hang out for a little, then they'll give you one, they'll let you in on the bigger toys. And little kids got some cool toys. When I was growing up, we had, used to have the Ken and Barbie, but Ken and Barbie was strictly Southern California. White, blonde head, Barbie. Now they got the African-American Barbie, they got the Guamanian Barbie, the Filipino Barbie, the Chinese Barbie. They got Barbie going international. They got Xbox, PlayStation. Let me see, Pokemon? I was about to say, brother. What else I got down here? Barbie. I got to put my glasses on because see what I wrote down here. I got the ethnic Barbie video. Little Pokemon. Oh, yeah. When I was a kid, we used to have dirt. Dirt. Straight up earth. And you had your G.I. Joe. You know what I'm saying? G.I. Joe was the man. G.I. Joe didn't do anything. That's all he did. He didn't walk, he didn't talk, he didn't, like, you know, wet his pants, nothing. He just went. So you would go out there in your dirt, and if you, you know, if you got your mom to let you have some water, you can make mud. If you couldn't get the water from mom, you just make mud by spitting, because you'd be like, you just spit all over the place and big slob mud. But then we had, how about Rock'em Sock'em Robots? See, and the kids on the commercials, they did it corny. They were like, they ain't know how to box. When you got it in real life, you were like, breaking it. Then the head would go up. Y'all remember Rock'em Sock'em Robots? Big buff dudes. They were like this. But one of the games that I like, it really fits in my story. I didn't really like it, but it fits in my story. is Etch-A-Sketch. That game was so corny. But it is popular. I don't know why it's so popular. But Etch-A-Sketch, you would, you know, you had the little knobs, and you would make it go up to the right, and, you know. You could do this at any age. You know, a little kid just can't. 9 months old. You know. But you make the lines go up, make it go left, right, and if you got real creative and did it both at the same time and get it to curve and you make this big picture, right, thought you invented something. I could do them both at the same time. And then you would make this beautiful picture, and your brother and sister would come over and do what? They shake it. They shake it. God can do that with your life. You can mess up for years, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, have all this jacked up life, and God can come shake it and wipe it clean. Woo! Amen. Some of y'all are going to get shook tonight. God wants to shake it. And let me tell you something. No matter what your issue is or issues are, they're not too big for God. Matter of fact, God, he is excited about the opportunity. We hired a guy at Miles Ahead to organize Miles Ahead Ministries, do our crusades and all the stuff we wanted to do. The crusades, videos, just stuff. And he's in the office organizing. And I meet with him in the office once a week. He tells me all the stuff he's going to do. And I'm looking at this going, I'm getting a headache because I'm not a manager. And I go, are you having fun? He goes, I love this. I was like, man. Thank God. And, you know, I knew he loved it, but I just every day want to ask him because it doesn't look like something I would love. And when you look at your problems and your sin, as far back as you can remember, and all the pain that your sin has caused, God wants that. He does. He wants it all. He can wipe it clean. So in John chapter 8, we're going to look at a little story. But first, we're going to look at our lesson plan because we want to renew our commitment and refresh our mind about our fast that we're on. If the title of the message today is Another Chance, and the reason we didn't say Second Chance because this is probably going to be chance number 37,000 for some of y'all. Okay, so another chance God wants to give you. Hopefully this will be the last one that you get your life right with him. But if you are a visitor, we are in week 5 of a 6-week fast here. We've been fasting. We're going to talk about what that means because it probably doesn't mean what you think. We've been fasting different things every week. Last week it was TV media. How many of y'all had a quiet week at home? Okay. You practicing being old. Quietness. Sitting home with blankets over your legs. Drinking tea. This week it's going to be sexual purity. Now, because most of y'all are not married, and I'm not guessing, if you're not married, raise your hand. Okay? Man. Whew. This is a singles party. How many of y'all are married? Raise your hand. That's a happy brother right there. Is that your wife? Very good. Just to make sure. She seems to be happy also. But 95% of y'all are single. So a lot of stuff we're going to talk about shouldn't be something you have to fast from. It should be your lifestyle. But because we know people struggle, we want to focus on these issues. But this is not something that when the week's over, you can go back and start doing again. It's not supposed to be the theory for single people. But the reason we put this in here, because we know sex is such a serious topic with people, that we wanted to make it an emphasis that you would say, you know what, I need to stop doing this. I need to stop thinking this. And I need to stop lusting and fascinating and fantasy in my mind. I need to deal with this instead of living that way. Because we can live with secret sins in our life forever and it'd kill us. So I want you to keep that in mind as we're going through this. First, fasting is soul affliction. In your body, in your lesson plan, write down soul affliction. When you're giving something up, you need to be giving something up that you want. You need to be afflicting your soul. Suffering, be another word. Voluntarily abstaining from satisfying the flesh. You can write that in there. Voluntarily abstaining from satisfying the flesh. Not eating alone is not necessarily fasting. You must humble yourself before God and draw near to God that God can change your heart. That's fasting. The not eating part is giving yourself more time to seek God. But there are people, and we're talking about a spiritual fast, by the way. Okay? Spiritually, if you want to benefit, it has to be spiritual. This week's goal is increased overall discipline. We are fasting for discipline. Discipline. If you looked at all the problems you have in your life, you could probably solve them all or could have avoided them all with discipline. If you're an alcoholic, guess what? It takes discipline to say no. If you're addicted to something, it takes discipline to get help and say no. So if you're not in shape, it takes discipline to get in shape. If you don't know the Bible, it takes discipline to read it. Discipline. So we want to say, Lord, give us discipline. Okay? Three areas, and you can take it to any way you want this. First one, discipline with obedience. We want to have discipline and obedience this week. And hopefully it'll carry over into the rest of your life. The Bible says right there in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Let me tell you something. God don't want to hear how much you love him. He's going to watch how much you love him. He don't want to hear how much, I just love Jesus. I love the church. What are you doing? Are you obeying God? That's all he wants to know. If you're obeying God, then yes, your love is evident. Matter of fact, that's the only way you can prove your love for God is by what you do. The Bible says to love God is to obey him. You don't love God by just feeling good about him. You don't walk by feeling. You walk by faith, and faith is obedience. You can't obey without faith. Next one, discipline with denial. Denial. Job said in Proverbs 31:1, I made a covenant or an agreement and a contract with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. Woo. He was having problems. He said, look, eyes, look at me. In the mirror, okay? Look at me. As a matter of fact, look at yourself. Don't look lustfully. His eye says, it's on you, Job. They say, okay, you don't look, I won't lust. So he walked around like this. How are you doing? My name is Job. Whatever you got to do. Now, ladies, help a brother out. Can I get an amen from the fellas in the house? What y'all need to do is y'all need to go down to the Shehite Kmart, get the hookup. The whole thing. Don't be clicking around. But fellas, discipline. Discipline. Well, can I appreciate her beauty? I get that question all the time. Is it wrong to appreciate? I says, how long does that take you? You probably can't appreciate her beauty. No, probably can't. Three, discipline with affection. And let me say what I mean by probably can't appreciate her beauty is that a lot of times you think you're appreciating, but you've gone way beyond that. That's what I mean. I mean, if you can't appreciate someone's beauty and not think a lustful thought, that's fantastic. Three, discipline with affection. This is for married couples. Look what it says there. Nevertheless, let each one of you married couples, or you husbands in particular, love your wife as himself. Can I get amen from the ladies? Are you married? No. Oh, okay. I'm sorry? Help him? Are you speaking it into existence? Okay. Look what it says next. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. A wife should respect her husband, but as you will notice in that verse, the man is supposed to love his wife first. You love your wife right, she will have no problem respecting you. If you don't love your wife right, do not. If you don't love your wife right, correctly, biblically, don't require her to respect you. Do your part first if you're a man, godly man, okay? Next one, sex is shameless oneness. Shameless oneness. Now, for all you youngins, you watch TV, movies, music, you get tempted, you're sleeping around. The Bible says sex is when two people become one and there's no shame. When you have sex in the world's eyes, they look at it as a physical thing. God says two individual people are becoming one person. That's why it's so amazing. If you're not married, you haven't experienced the most amazing part of it, doing it God's way. God created it. The devil wants to pervert it. If you have sex outside of marriage, it's a perverted version. It's the perverted version. It's not God's version. Because man, God, look at the verse. Look what it says. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother, be married, and be joined to his wife. They shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Woo! Man, wife, married, boom, in the spirit. Then they physically join as one flesh, one human being. Not two people touching, one human being. Soul, spirit, body, bam. And there's no shame. No, the Bible says they were naked. Not only did they not have clothes on, but there was nothing hidden from their heart, from their mind. No secrets, no hidden fantasies. Everything was out in the open and there was no shame. Honesty. That's what God wants for y'all. Don't take the quick route. Because you can get a little girl over here, get a little guy over there, think you're loved and I'm loved and I'm valued. No. Do it God's way. Do it God's way. Wait for God to bring the right person. Sexual sin is sex outside of faith in the Word of God. Anytime you don't do it God's way, you're sinning. And check this out. If you're married, you can sin in your marriage. Ooh. Yes. You could sexually assault your wife. She doesn't owe you anything anytime your way. That's not the Bible. The Bible says whatever is not faith is of sin. You have to consent by faith together. Remember, you're one person. Love her as yourself. Love her as Christ loves his church. It's not whatever I want. It's a partnership. She's not your slave. He's not your slave. It's a partnership. When she's tired, hey, you have to imagine if I was tired. When she's frustrated for something, you have to put yourself in her place because the Bible says love her like yourself. If you don't want to do it, then would you want her to force herself on you? No, you wouldn't. It's a partnership. Okay, I know most of y'all are single, so I'll just move on. Sexual sin. And you can look up 1 Corinthians 6:9. I won't get into that, but you can write fornication is a sin. Homosexuality is a sin. Adultery, incest, sex outside of faith, lust. The Bible says if you lust in your heart, you sin. You committed adultery. Now, in our culture, people want to accept different lifestyles. Homosexuality, they want to accept that. Let me tell you this. I'll tell you real simple. God loves homosexuals, but homosexuality is wrong. It always will be wrong. It's in the Bible. God doesn't have to conform to the culture. Sex outside of marriage. All y'all single people in here, I have no idea how many hundreds of you could possibly be having sex right now in your life. Hey, it's wrong. Don't matter how many people at San Diego State are doing it. Don't matter how many people at UCSD are doing it or the high school. It doesn't matter. It's wrong. And you will pay a price, period. You're going to pay a price. You got to repent. Okay? Matter of fact, Bible says every other sin you commit outside the body, sexual sin is the only one you commit against your body. Ooh, big time consequence, physical consequence, emotional consequence, spiritual consequence, physical consequence, social consequence, generational consequence. Okay? Last one, then we'll get to our text. Encouragement to married couples. One of the things for married couples is to abstain for a week. You don't have to. Let's read the verse. That's okay. It's okay. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time. What we're saying, for a week, we'll say, you know what? Honey, for 1 week, we are going to... Let me finish reading the verse and then I'll say it. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time that you both agree. Hey, let's do this for a week, that you may give yourselves to prayer and fasting. Simple. It's discipline. It's a choice you make. It's a choice you make. I cannot force you to do anything. Don't want to try to get in your business like that. It's a choice you make. But here's what it says. Honey, we are going to fast and pray for a week and have no intimate relations. We are going to break the strongholds in our life, honey. What do you think?
Well, honey, how about if we make it 3 weeks, honey? I'm really feeling like we need to really pray.
No, honey. 7 days, honey. I think the chains are breaking. I think it's 5 days, honey. When y'all get married, you'll understand how funny that really is. And when you have kids. But, listen, it is something that you say, you know what? If having sex is the end of the world for you, you got a problem. You got a problem. You have a problem. You're worshiping the created thing. Worship God. Look what it says next. And then come together, right there in your lesson plan, and come together again. Hey. Why? So that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Don't use your lack of self-control as an excuse to indulge the flesh. We want to train the flesh to be able to say, my self-control cannot control me. I can't let my self-control control me. That's like saying my lack of discipline is ruling my life. The reason you fast, the reason you pray, the reason you study, the reason you practice anything is to minimize self-control and lack of self-control in your life. You want to become disciplined. You don't want God to have to call on you to do something. And you say, God, you know, I can't really do that because I got to have my coffee. I can't really do that because I just have to have lunch every day. I can't really do that because I miss my wife. No. Wait a minute. I need you, God. I need you to do something. I don't want to hear your excuses. If you got excuses, I'll go get somebody else. But this is a war we're in, okay? So I'm going to need you to exercise self-control. And what's going to happen is the more self-control you exercise, the more self-control you're going to have, and you become useful for God. But too many people, especially in our culture, we want everything now, our way, give it to me quick. We want to be served instead of serve. And we live in such a me society. We have such a me mentality that everyone needs to give me what I want now. That's not the way it is in reality. The way it is everything you have, God has given you. It's a gift. Even the ability to have a wife or a husband, even the ability to have intimacy, he doesn't owe that to you. It's a gift. And guess what? It is never to be worshipped and honored. Only thing to be worshipped and honored is God. And you should be able to live your whole life without most of the stuff that you think are must in your life. Oxygen you need, water you need. After that, you need a word of God. And we think we need this. We got to have a boyfriend all the time. We got to have our hair done every week. We got to have our nails done. We got to have a nice car. Oh, you don't have to have any of that. You are brainwashed by Satan. You are brainwashed by Satan. And the whole reason of this fast is to look at all these things we depend on and to say, you know what? I don't need it. I really don't. I had a young lady come to me after the 5 o'clock service, right at that door. She says to me, I fasted. I don't know if she gave it up totally, but she didn't have on when she was talking to me. She fasted makeup. And I'm looking, you know, you don't need any makeup. She was saying, I realize I have inner beauty. I don't need all that makeup. She was set free. That was her thing. You know, that's a big deal. And you ladies know who are into makeup. Now, there's nothing wrong with makeup, but if you're hung up on it, you got a problem. Don't get hung up on it. You need God. And when you get to a point where nothing matters, I can say no to anything. I can say no to my most strongest urges in my flesh. I can say no to all of that. Whew. Now God can use you. Can God use you less when you have those hangups? Absolutely. Because your faith, you're going to be carrying all this baggage. Let's go, God, I'm ready. But you got all the stuff you need. You got 5 pounds of Copa, Maca, Mocha, Cappuccino. You got all your videos for your entertainment. You got all your cigarettes. You got all your friends' emails. And God's you got to leave all that home. Leave all that home. Okay? So that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Then you come back. And for all you who are single for the stuff you're doing wrong, you know it's time to stop. Bottom line. Okay, let's look at the story. In the story, Jesus is going to be confronted with a woman who was committing adultery, sexual sin. And the people who bring her to Jesus are trying to get her stoned to death. Penalty was death. And we're going to see what Jesus does. They try to tell him, look, she needs to be killed. What are you going to do? Moses says she be killed. If Jesus says don't kill her, then he's going to look like a hypocrite not following what the Bible says in the Old Testament. If he says to kill her, then all the people who looked at him as a God who forgave people, they're going to look at him and say, oh, he's just like the religious. He's not a merciful God, a forgiving God. So they think they have him in a corner. You never have God in a corner. Never. He's always right. Okay, let's read the story. Verse 1. It says, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Okay, let me read that part again. You have to listen to the Bible very closely. Because people, they indict themselves. Jesus, we caught this woman in the very act. She was doing it. We were watching. We got video. That's what they said. Verse 5. Now Moses in the law commanded us that she should be stoned. What do you say? They think they got him. Either way, he loses. If he says, don't stone her, he loses. If he says, stone her, he loses. So we got Jesus, and we're going to get her punished. First thing I want to say is, God doesn't want to punish you as his first option. He wants to forgive you. The religious, they want to punish you. Critical people, they want to always find something wrong. You can always find those people. If you want to find something wrong with somebody, big deal. You're a rocket scientist. It's not hard. Guess what I heard? Oh, go away. That's not edifying. That's not God's heart. When God looks at you, he knows your stuff, but that's not his goal. If he wanted to get you, he would have got you. He doesn't need anybody to gossip. Oh, guess what he did? Or guess what she did? Or that church, eh? Oh, what are you proving by saying negative? Nothing at all. You're proving you have nothing but selfishness in your heart, and you're insecure. Why don't you say something positive? Why don't you give somebody hope? That's what God gives you. He looks at you. He goes, I know your problems, but you know what? I want to help you. I want to encourage you. I want to forgive you. I want to restore you. That's what God says. So here, they're bringing her saying, stone her, stone her, stone her. And you know what the Bible says? This is penalty of sin. Matter of fact, in your lesson plan at the top, you can write this down. The wages of sin is death. D-E-A-T-H. Death. And there's four spaces there. You can write down any of the above. Death in relationships. Death in your dreams. Death in romance. Death in your reputation. Death in your abilities. Death in your job, death in your health, death in your vision, death in your sense of self-respect. When you sin, Satan kills stuff. He kills it, puts an end to it. God wants to give you life. Look what he says It's funny. Jesus was funny. He says in verse 6, this they said to him, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear them. And when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And then he stooped down and wrote in the ground. The brother's cool. He's teaching in Aramaic. And they come in there, boom, bust the door open, throw the woman down. She throws down on the ground. Jesus, we caught her in the very act. We watched her. We got evidence. We know all about her. What are you going to do? Everyone's like, oh. Jesus goes, Jesus, Jesus. They keep yelling at him. He's just right on the ground. Gets up, says, if any of y'all never sin, go ahead, throw the rock at her. The brother's cool. Two things I want to point out. When the word says that, when the Bible says he wrote on the ground, the word they use referred to a written record or accusation against somebody. Almost like, they don't really know what he's writing, but that's what the word implies. Almost like he wrote this. Levi, you were with her last week. Oh, Johnny, you were thinking about it 3 weeks ago. And Leroy, you have her phone number in your pocket. But I'm not one to gossip, but that's all I know. We don't know what he wrote, but that's what that word means. Now, you know what it says here? Any of you without sin, any of you that have not the desire to sin in your mind, any of you that haven't imagined sin, how many of you fellas, when you were gathering evidence, weren't lusting in your heart about what you were watching? So you going to point the finger? Don't point the finger. Just ask God to forgive you. Ask God to use you to encourage somebody. Everyone's got issues. Let's help them deal with those issues. That's God's heart. And so he sits down, and these guys, look what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 9, it says, then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in his midst. Now look at the word conscience. I'm going to make up a word now, or I'm going to make up a definition. This is not really the definition of this word, but I'm going to make it up and you'll know that I made it up. Look at conscience, how it's spelled. C-O-N, science. You see that? Isn't that what it says? C-O-N, science. In Spanish, C-O-N is what? With scientific investigation, the guys gathered the evidence, and they said, we are wrong. We are wrong. Think about it. Do I have sin? Well, you know what? She is kind of cute. And, yeah, I was kind of thinking nasty things when I was watching. Or, yeah, I did lie last week. Or, yeah, I did, you know, gossip last week. If I throw a stone at her, I may be guilty too. I'm not going to throw a stone. Think about your sin. If you died today, would you go to heaven or hell? The only reason you would go to heaven is because you asked Jesus to be your Savior. You can't say you would go to heaven because you're a good person. The Bible said there's none good, no, not one. Can't go to heaven because you say you came to the Rock Church service because the Bible didn't mention nothing about that. You can't go to service because you listen to five CDs from Pastor Miles or Pastor John or Pastor Johnny because the Bible says nothing about that. The Bible says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Not through Buddha, not through the Bhagwan, through Jesus. So he says here, they all left. And look what it says. Matter of fact, in your lesson plan, look what it says. Forgiveness is a release from debt. Debt. What's the debt? Your sin. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. When Jesus died, they beat him. They pulled his beard out, stuck 2-inch thorns in his head, whipped his back so his skin and flesh came off the bone, and they hung him, nailed him to a cross for 6 hours, and he bled to death. For your sin and my sin. He had no sin. That's not fair. That's how much he loved you and me. That's the debt. He paid your debt, my debt. You can't just go to church and give $5 and think, okay, my sin is gone. Your debt, the payment is your life. That's why you're going to die. Your payment is your life in hell. Not just going to sleep in the ground, in hell. Jesus paid the debt. And the only way you could take advantage of his payment is by faith to accept him as your Savior. That's the only way. That's what God wants to do in your life. Now, the Bible says here, or it says it in your lesson plan, we'll skip down to God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness, three words. Before we do that, we're going to read the Bible because I want you to look at what he did in the Bible. Look at what he did in the Bible. Verse 9, it says, then those who heard it were convicted, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said, woman? Maybe he didn't know her name. Woman? Where are those, and let me say this, the fact that he called her woman and not harlot and not other words, he gave her dignity right there. Woman? Where are those people who are accusing you? Where they at? All the people that hated you. Now he knows where they're at. Where they at? What are they doing now? And look what it says. She says, has no one condemned you? She says, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. He got out. But you know what? Him getting out of the argument was not at all his problem. He got her a new start. Another chance. Look in your lesson plan. God's forgiveness. This is what I want you to know. Here's the etch-a-sketch. God's forgiveness is complete. Completo. Complete. Look at that verse, Psalm 103:11. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. And let me tell you something. You don't fear him, you don't get mercy. You get wrath. So great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. When I went to Africa, I flew from London to Uganda, south. We went over to the Mediterranean, went over the, past Italy, and over the water into North Africa, and over the Sahara Desert. Now, I never realized how big this bad boy was. I was in a book, Christian bookstore yesterday. I was telling someone about this. I said, how big do you think the Sahara Desert is? And they said, how about Texas? You know what I'm saying? It took 3 to 4 hours to fly from the north end to the south end, and that's the short end. It's longer this way than it is this way. My estimation, it was bigger. As a matter of fact, just looking at the globe, it's bigger than America. Desert, sand. Desert. And I went, we're flying and flying and flying and flying, and all it is yellow sand. And I'm looking out the window going, I'm looking at my watch saying, something's wrong. This cannot be this big. And all you can see when you look out to the west is yellowness and the sky, and it just, they blended together to be like a fog because there was nothing out there. It was so far. And the Bible says as far as the east is from the west. And you know what? There is no measurement because it never ends. It's not like the east ends here and the west ends here. It just keeps going. So God took you. Matter of fact, if you go into space, next time you go to space, if you ever go into space and you took your glasses and flicked them in space, it would just go forever. It wouldn't stop. You ever wonder how the space shuttle just flies real fast around and just keeps going for like a month? How it just, they get a propulsion and there's no gravitational force. It's just like, you know, 100 something miles an hour, 100 something thousand miles an hour. But it just goes, floats forever. It just goes. And if you, when God takes your sin, he goes, never comes back. Never comes back completely. Look at the next word. Eternal. Eternal. Write down eternal. Forever. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. He will remember no more. And next one, cleansing. cleansing. His forgiveness is cleansing. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I used to smoke marijuana for about 8 years. And I stopped in 1984, April 12, 1984, I got saved. I stopped doing cocaine the same day. Matter of fact, I had gotten high at cocaine that night before. And 3 months ago, I was sitting in my car. This is 18 years ago. 6 months ago, I was sitting, 3 months ago, I was sitting in my car at the lake here in San Diego, looking at the water, looking at the birds, the ducks, squirrels, mosquitoes. And read my Bible, and these guys pull up in the car, three guys. We're talking, roll down my window. What's up, y'all? What y'all want? What y'all gonna do? So we're talking about, I don't know, remember what we're talking about. And they pull out the weed. Start getting a little ganja thing working, and a little easy water, and a little bong, and a little, and they all are excited. They're gonna get high. I'm looking at them. I used to do that. They're going to do this first, and they're going to do this, they're going to get the seeds out, and they're going to do this, they're going to throw it out the window, and then they're going to choke, and they're gonna, then they're going to do all that. I remember that. So I'm watching this whole thing go down, and I'm tripping because, I mean, I don't do that anymore. Don't have a desire to do it. God cleansed it from me. He doesn't see me as an ex-pothead. So we're talking the whole time this is going on. Then the guy goes, "You want some?" I'm laughing. I'm like, "Brother, you have no idea who you're talking to." I'm a pastor, you know. So we got all into the stuff. But I'm sitting there going, I used to do that, and I don't anymore. It's not an issue. I have friends back home my age. I grew up with high school, still getting high, still lost, still going through that same old mess. I said, you know, I don't do that anymore. But I used to do that when I was stupid. But I don't do that anymore. You know what? God can cleanse you of stuff. It's a beautiful thing about being saved. He can cleanse you of pain. He can cleanse you of depression. He can. He can. Look what he says to the woman, though. Verse 11, neither do I condemn you. Then he says, go and sin no more. Repentance. This is what repentance is. I'm going this way. I'm going this way. I got to repent. This is repent. This is not repentance. I'm repenting. I'm repenting. I'm repenting. No, that's just talking. Repentance is this. Look in your lesson plan. Repentance requires change in attitude and behavior. Bible says, therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. If you're going to repent, let's see it. Next line, only who? Jesus. Only Jesus can bring about this change. Look what that verse says. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Buddha, oh, my bad. If anyone is in Muhammad, if anyone is in self-realization, scientific, Scientology, Christology, not Christology, Jehovah's Witness, no. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know what he told the woman? Me and you are now connected. Okay? We're going to change. I want to challenge all you young people out there. Some of y'all need to stop watching pornography. Some of y'all need to stop lusting after everything that walks by. Some of y'all need to just flat out stop having sex because that's what you're doing. All you ladies out there have believed the lie that you need to have sex to have love. You will not get love through sex. You won't. The kind of love God wants to give you is way beyond physical. And I want to challenge y'all to say, you know what? I have to stop doing this for good. And I want to challenge you this week to get an accountability partner, some person that's going to ask you the hard question, and say, am I doing this? Some of y'all are addicted to masturbation. Ooh, stepping on toes tonight, baby.
He said the M word.
Let me tell you something. God has a way to minister to your need. The devil has a way of perverting that and enslaving you. You got to be set free. And you have to deal with God. And you have to, my challenge to you is to get someone in your life that can ask you the hard question. You say, Lord, am I doing this? And some of you girls dress the way you dress because you want a guy to check you out because he wants you to check out the physical. But let me tell you something. If that's what he's attracted to, when he gets tired of that, he's gone. If you want to keep him, he's got to track here. Let God, you only need one. Well, let me tell you that. You only need one. God will hook you up. What was Adam doing when Eve came? Sleeping. Stank breath, drool, whole hair when I done. That's what he was doing. And not only did God bring him a woman, she was naked. He hooked the brother up. And then he said, go multiply the earth. God, now he may not bring you a naked woman. I doubt it's going to happen. But you know what, though? He wants to bring you a woman where you can have no shame with. Do it God's way. Ladies, trust me in this. I'm going to give you a little definition out of this book. I'm going to give you a definition of how you know someone loves you. Please write this down. Please write this down. You may know it, but please write it down again. You can share it with somebody. If a guy ever tells you he loves you, you need to ask him this one simple question. And if he can't answer this question with confidence and you can't be confident, you just do this. That's all you got to do. Just do that. Okay? I'm going to give you two verses. Matthew 22, 37 to 40. Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40. Basically says the greatest commandment is love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these hang all the law and the prophets. Love God is the number one commandment. Then write down 1 John 5:3. 1 John 5:3. The Bible says to love God is to obey God. Okay? Okay? Greatest commandment, love God. The Bible says to love God is to obey God. How do I love God? I obey God. How do I get God's best? By loving him. How do I do that? By obeying God. That means if I want to get God's best, I just obey him. Very simple. If I love you, guess what I got to do? Help you obey God. If I say, I love you, baby. First question you got to ask is, are you helping me obey God? Why are you telling me you love me? You want me to have sex with you? That's not obeying God. Oh, I think you lust me. That's the difference. If someone is not willing, qualified, passionate about helping you obey God, they are not loving you this way. And if they're not loving you this way, you are going to get hurt. If they're not loving you this way, you are going to get hurt. Sooner or later, it's got to come around to doing God's way because God created the whole system. So, are you helping me obey God? Are you qualified to help? If he's not saved, guess what? He ain't qualified to help you obey God. He can't because he's not spiritual. And guess what? Even if he's saved, is he walking with God? Just because he's saved don't mean you should date him either. Is the brother committed to the word? Is he committed to praying? Is he going to wash you with the water of the word? Is he going to pray for you? Is he going to encourage your spiritual gifts? Is he going to encourage you in your ministry? Does he even know what that means? Ooh, there's a whole lot to ask. And you are on these all, hey, how you doing, baby? What's up? Here's my name. You got chest open and a little chain on. How you doing? Let's go out today. I'm going to hook you up and buy you a car. How many books in the Bible? What? How many books in the Bible? You know, the Bible's a book. Yeah, that's the Bible. Yeah, it's one book. The Bible has 66 books, by the way. God wants to forgive you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to give you a whole new start in life. He wants to etch and sketch your life. He can't do it unless you let him. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Don't be enslaved to anything. Surrender to God everything. Get an accountability partner. Be honest with that person. Be honest. Don't play games. Let God do a deep thing in your life. As you're sitting in your seat, you realize you're like this woman. You're guilty. You're a sinner. Nothing unusual. It's a human thing. You can't get rid of your own sin because you're human. Nothing unusual. It's a human thing. But you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord, that he died and rose from the dead for your sin. You believe that he loves you, that he has a plan for your life. Believe he wants to forgive you. And you also believe that you don't want to go to hell. You don't want to be eternally separated from God. And your only hope is that Jesus would save you from those who would want to stone you. If you would like to be forgiven, renewed in the privacy of your heart, pray this prayer with me. But as you pray, you must believe these things to be true. You must believe that he loves you, that he died for you, and that he's excited about forgiving you, excited about giving you a new life, excited about cleansing you, setting you free. In the privacy of your heart, pray with me. Dear God, yes, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong, that it has consequences, eternal consequences. But I believe you love me, that you died for my sin and rose from the dead. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be born all over again. I want to be cleansed. I surrender my life to you, my whole life. My pain, my issues, my problems. Please be my Lord and my Savior right now. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, in 1 minute I'm going to ask you to stand if you prayed that prayer. Before I ask you to stand, I want you to think about something. One, if you gave your life to Jesus just now, you have just told him, God, I've been wrong, you are right. You have just told him, Lord, I can't do it without you. You just told him, Lord, I belong to you now. So when I ask you to stand, one, you shouldn't have to think about it. And two, you shouldn't have to worry about what people think. One, you're in the family of God. But two, he owns you. You belong to him now. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before man, he's going to be ashamed of you. Being a Christian is not something you do on Sunday in this room. It's something you do all week, everywhere you are. And today, right now, is going to be your first opportunity to be public, to go public. So right now, if you prayed that prayer to ask Jesus to be your Savior, just stand to your feet and acknowledge that right now. Straighten your legs. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. 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 Stay standing. Please stay standing. God bless you. 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 Good. Anybody else? God spoke to you and you spoke to him. God bless you. God bless you. God bless all of you. God is still speaking to somebody. Your heart is pounding. You want to cry. You don't want to get up, but you're shaking. Why are you shaking? Because God's doing something in your life. So stand up and let him complete it. God bless you. Good. Anybody else? God bless you. Go ahead. Age. Your gender doesn't matter. How old you are, your education, how much money you make doesn't matter. What you thought you were coming here for doesn't matter. It's what you leave here with. God bless you. Good. God bless you. All the stuff you think is impossible is no problem for God. The hard part is just letting him do it. That's it. He is so excited about fixing you. He's so excited about cleansing you, forgiving you. Anybody else? There's got to be somebody else. There's somebody else struggling. You think I'm not going to ask one more time? You're thinking, oh, just end this so I can go home. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. God is calling you. Stand up right now if that's you. Good. Good. Very good. Good. Very good. Good. You don't want to pass this up, because when you go home, there's nothing there. Your boyfriend, your girlfriend, they have nothing. Nothing. It's all temporary. God bless you. Anybody else? Now we're going to ask all you people, 50 or so, we're going to ask you, as we welcome you to the family of God, to come down here and shake my hand right now. Come on down here right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on down here, shake my hand. And stay down here. Stay right down here. God bless you. Stay right down here. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You guys can turn the other way. Turn and face this way. Face this way. God bless you. Come on. Keep him. God bless you. 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 Come on. Shake my hand. All of give me amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good. 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 Come on. Shake my hand. Come on now. Come on now. Come on, keep platform. Come on. Amen. 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 God bless you. 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 Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Stay right here. Stay here. Stay here. I'll give you some. Guys, face this way. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. The Bible says if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you. Hey, forgive you. He's going to remember it no more. He's going to separate as far as the east is from the west. It's going to be forever. He's going to cleanse you, renew your mind. All the stuff you were enslaved to do, I can't stop, I can't stop, I can't stop. Guess what? You're going to be able to stop. You're going to be able to stop. There's people in your life, guess what? You got to say, no more. I can't see you anymore. My best friend, when I got saved, I told him I can't hang out with you anymore. You know what he said? I understand. He knew. I can't hang out with you anymore. You're evil. You're evil. He says, I know. But if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have a job being in ministry. Sam, I'm trying to put myself out of work. Let me tell you something. Here's the only thing y'all got to do. Make it real simple for you. I know these people talk about you got to get baptized, you got to read the Bible, go to Bible study, pray every day, witness, and do all. Yeah, okay, forget all that for now. Here's all you got to do. One word. Obey. Remember we talked about this. It's in your plan. It's in your plan right there. Obey. When you get up tomorrow, when you walk out of here, I want you to be tripping. You're going to be tripping, okay? And I want you to go, I got to obey God. When you wake up tomorrow, in the morning, or whenever you wake up, I got to obey God. When you go to work, I got to obey God. You know what he's going to tell you? He's going to tell you little stuff like, don't go to lunch to that deli anymore. Why? Don't go to that deli. And when you think about it a little while, you're going to know, yeah, there's a girl in there. I keep checking out. Or a guy. He'll say, don't read that magazine. Don't listen to that music. Don't eat that food. Don't wear those clothes. That's what it's all about. Because it's a relationship. Here's a mystery in the Bible. Remember he talks about the man and the wife being one? Okay, guess what? That's you and God. The husband-wife picture is a picture of our relationship with God. Guess what? The church is the bride and Jesus is the groom in the Bible. You become one with him. It's a partnership. He's the boss, though. He loves you. You submit to him. That's all it is. So when you leave here, it's a relationship. He's got you like this now. This is his love letter to you. It's right here. 66 books, over 1,000 chapters. It's right here. It's all right here. You don't need to know anything else. And his spirit's in you. He's going to speak to you individually. He's going to say, I want you to do this. I want you to stop doing this. I want you to stop worrying about this. I want you to believe this about yourself. It's you. God tells me stuff. Miles, go over there and do this. Don't do that. Don't talk to that person anymore. You need to talk to that person more. That person's lying to you. That person's not lying to you. That person has low self-esteem. Thank you, God. Now go encourage all those people to obey me. That's it. That's all my job is. That's all your job is. That's all y'all's job is. Don't bring people to have me do that. You can do that, but you do it. You learn to do it. And all these vices we're talking about, TV, food, sex, that stuff is, hey, you don't need that stuff. You need God. If you feel you need that stuff, it proves you need more of God. Because you should not be enslaved to any of that stuff. You should be only addicted to the Jesus Christ and his faith, his love for us. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for these people. And right down the middle, all y'all over here, we're going to send you back here. We're going to give you a book. All y'all over here, we're going to send you down here. We want to give you a book. And I'm going to ask all y'all over here if y'all can let me get down the aisle after we pray so I can get to the door and shake people's hands. So let's pray for all these people. Amen? Amen. Let's all you lift your hand up here. Lift your hand up here. Just face this way, all y'all. Just we're going to pray for these people. And it's like we're laying hands on them in the Bible. It's like God's hand. Touch them. Lord, we pray for all these people here at the altar. Lord, we pray you rock their world. We pray you rock their world. We pray that they would never, ever, ever be the same. Lord, renew their mind. Take out their heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. Soften their heart that they may hear you, obey you, submit to you, honor you, and just be so caught up in obeying you. Lord, show them all the stuff in their life that needs to go, and I pray that they like it. That they see it and receive it and obey it and not try to hold on to anything. That they allow you to change their life. Lord, I pray for all of us in here. There are many people here with issues, sex-related issues. Lord, I pray that we could be honest with ourselves and let them go. Deal with them, address them. Purify our minds, our hearts. Purify our motives and intentions. Lord, may we as a family keep each other accountable to be pure. Lord, overall, may our discipline to obey you reach new levels this week. Lord, may we become useful soldiers in your army. This is not about coming to church and listening to a preacher. This is about obeying you, representing you in this world. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Lord, I pray that for the Rock, that we would have a church of doers and not hearers only. People who speak words of encouragement and hope and not criticism and gossip, as we're going to talk about next week. But this week, may we be pure. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's give them another hand. Let's have y'all walk that way. Walk that way. Right there. Amen.